All right, so what we are going to talk about today, today is week number one of People of Hope. We want to talk about our source of hope today. Now, so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. You guys know this verse. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Right? And so Paul is telling us that there are a lot of things, and in that chapter, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, there are a lot of things in this world that will pass away. A lot of things that will no longer be needed in eternity. But he says these three remain. These three things we know last into eternity. They're so important that they're not only important in this realm, in this world, but in the world to come, right? But when we look at these three, faith, hope, and love, hope seems to me to be oftentimes the forgotten little brother of faith and love, right? You know, we make a big deal out of faith, and we should, right? The Bible says things like, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I guess that makes faith pretty important, right? That's in Hebrews 11, verse 5. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, it is by grace you are saved through faith. So faith is vital to our salvation. That makes it pretty important, right? And love, Jesus says the greatest two commandments are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself. And then the night before he went to the cross, he said, I got one more commandment for you. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. So Jesus, you know, love is pretty important too. We know that faith and love are important. But how often do we really talk about hope, right? And I think it's because maybe we really don't understand what hope is or why it's so important. There's another verse that speaks of these three, faith, hope, and love. And we find that instead of hope being the forgotten little brother, we find that hope is actually, did I put it in here or no? Yeah. Hope is actually the source of faith and love. Colossians 1 verse 4. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from hope. Isn't that interesting? Stored up for you in heaven. That hope is not the forgotten little brother, but hope is actually the place, the fountain that love and faith come from. So when I think we need to ask, what really is hope? What really is hope if it's so important? So it's not wishful thinking. So you've probably, if you've been here for a while, you've probably heard me talk about this before. We tend to use, in our culture, we tend to use the word hope as more of a wishful thinking sort of thing, right? This week, we had a kids event, Summer Sizzle. And all, you know, all early this week, leading up to Summer Sizzle on Wednesday, we were hoping it didn't rain. Right? I hope it doesn't rain. And so, you know, it actually did rain a little bit. It was some sprinkles, but it didn't wipe out our event. It was, the kids still had water fights in the middle of the rain. It was all right. But that's wishful thinking. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it clears up today. I hope we have some sunny weather this week. I don't know if you've looked at the forecast. We're not going to, by the way. I hope it doesn't rain. The FIFA World Cup. Anybody following FIFA World Cup? Not too many. A few. Canadian team will be competing against 47 other teams, 47 other countries in FIFA World Cup. There are a lot of countries that have been much better at soccer for a lot longer than Canada has. We've had, in the last 20 years, we've put together 3 professional teams. But other countries have been playing professional soccer. England had a league in 1888. They started their first soccer league. I think they might beat us. I don't know. So when I say I hope that Canada wins the World Cup, it's called wishful thinking. Right? Or I could go after the Habs and how they blew the last series, but we won't talk about that. Right? I hope. But biblical hope is not that. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. When we say that we have the hope of the resurrection, for example, we are not saying, I hope that maybe there's something there after I die. I hope there is. It's not what we're saying. No, we're saying we have a confidence that there will be the resurrection of the dead for all those who trust in Jesus, because God has clearly promised that in His Word. And God's promises are trustworthy. That hope of the resurrection, that hope changes everything. It does. We have confidence in the greater purpose of this life because we have hope for the future. And we have hope for the future because God has made some specific promises and His Word is a guarantee. Hebrews 10:23 puts it this way. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. That's worth saying again. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we possess, for He who promised is faithful. The foundation of our hope, folks, the reason we can have hope in this life, the foundation of our hope is the trustworthiness of the one who has made promises to us. God is good. His plan is good, and His promises are true this morning and every morning. Biblical hope is more like a light at the end of a tunnel, that no matter what I may be going through today, I can be confident that this is not the end of the story. Right? God's taking us somewhere, and it's good. It's what keeps you going when life is difficult. It's what gives you joy and strength when everything around you says that you should be despairing and giving up. When you bury an 18-year-old boy with his whole life ahead of him. A boy whom everybody knew as the one guy who could light up a room with his quick wit. A boy who took his life because for one brief moment, he lost sight of hope. You begin to understand how powerful hope is and how destructive it can be when we lose it. The lies of the enemy can settle in far too quickly when we take our eyes off the prize that awaits us. Even secular psychologists recognize the power of hope. There's a quote from a doctor of psychology in the publication Psychology Today. It says, our level of hope can have a big impact on our lives. High hope people have passion and zest that fuels their energy. This passion is viable and dynamic because there is a degree of persistence and follow-through that accompanies it. They are optimistic about their future and believe in possibilities. They see challenges as opportunities to grow and learn rather than as obstacles. This is key to the success of many high hope people. They not only bounce back from setbacks, they seem to bounce forward and keep going despite the challenges. They believe possibilities can open up when they put in the work. Isn't that interesting? Somebody who doesn't, as far as I know, doesn't even know Jesus, I think has a better handle on what hope is than many, many of us in the church do. Right? But far from being just a trick of positive thinking, brothers and sisters, hear me. The hope we have is not just a trick of positive thinking. The hope we have runs much deeper than positive confession mantras or just thinking positive thoughts. Zechariah 9, verses 11 to 12 says this, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, this is God speaking through Zechariah, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Prisoners of hope. Isn't that interesting? If you've not gotten hope down deep in your soul, you can be walking around free in this world and be prisoner of all kinds of things in your mind and your heart. But when you have been taken captive by hope, folks, when your life has been gripped by the hope that we have in Christ, no prison, no oppression, and no lies of the enemy can ever rob you of your freedom. Because hope sees light no matter how dark things get. Are you letting your circumstances take you captive? Are you letting somebody's opinion take you captive? Are you letting doubts and despair and fear take you captive? If you have become a captive of hope, then all those dogs can bark at your heels, but they will never touch the hope that you have inside. Christine Kane is an amazing woman of God who's involved in freeing women from human trafficking and sex trade slavery all over the world. But I love the story that she tells in a talk on hope of taking her 8-year-old daughter to Walmart. And her daughter had been begging her for this Barbie flashlight. And they got to the cash and she paid for all their items. And her daughter asked to hold the flashlight. "Mommy, I want my Barbie flashlight." So she pulled the flashlight out of the bag and handed it to her. And she turned on the flashlight. And of course, she couldn't really see any light coming out of it under the fluorescent lighting of Walmart, as great as Walmart is. She turned it on and was disappointed that she really couldn't see any light. And the next words out of her mouth were, "Mommy, let's go find some dark." And Christine Kane said, "In that moment, I realized that my daughter understood what the light was for. It's not for shining in the light, it's for taking into the dark." That's what our hope is for. It's for the dark moments. It's for dark places in our lives. It's in for dark places in the lives of others. Folks, we are people of hope. God has made us to be people of hope. And when we have the hope of Christ on the inside of us, when we are captives of hope, we are meant to shine out our hope into the lives of people who live in darkness. Where does this hope come from? From the God of hope. We are people of hope because we are people of the God of hope. Romans 15:13. This, a number of years ago, became one of my favorite scriptures. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is described here by Paul as the God of hope. God doesn't just have hope because He happens to have a plan to make the world better. He doesn't just possess hope like a cheer-up attitude. He is hope. He is hope. He is the source of hope because He is the very essence of what we hope for. We aren't just made, folks, we aren't just made as humans. We aren't just made to wish for a better world. We are made to long to be at home in God. The human soul isn't just hardwired to survive. We are hardwired to seek our Creator. The Bible says He wrote eternity in our hearts. He wrote hope there, that there's a plan beyond this. He wrote eternity in our hearts. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you're invited here by someone, by a friend. Maybe you've been coming because you're curious about the God thing. But if you don't know Jesus yet, and you have felt like there has been some missing piece in your soul, some big puzzle piece seems to be missing. If you felt like there's an ache in your soul that you haven't been able to satisfy, here's a newsflash for you. It is God and His love for you that is meant to be at the center of your soul that you are missing. One of the church fathers, a guy named Augustine or Augustine, said both ways, was an atheist before he came to Christ. And as he began to awaken to his need for God, he writes down that he called out, "God, my heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." That beautifully sums up all of our journey. If you find yourself restless in this world, something's missing, something's not right, and you've looked all kinds of places to fill that void in your soul, it's the God who loves you. Psalm 62, verse 5 to 8 says this, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken." Folks, our hope comes from Him. And as people of hope, this verse in Romans 15:13 says that we are meant to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that the hope that we have on the inside is not meant just for us. But we're meant to spill it on other people, right? To overflow it on other people. That when we walk in a room, the atmosphere should shift from fear and despair to one of hope. The people should begin to suddenly see a glimpse of light where before they only saw darkness. You carry on the inside of you a hope that other people need. We are a people of hope. And our hope begins and ends in Christ. Begins and ends in Him. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." He's given us new birth into a living hope. I think that means a lot of things, and we don't necessarily have time to unpack what all living hope means. It seems to me one of the things that it means is it's not just pie in the sky by and by is not just a hope for when we're dead. It's a hope that actually makes a difference now when we're alive. If hope is worth anything, it's worth making a difference for us as we walk through the darkness of this world. It's a living hope. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of Jesus that brought true hope into the world. What do I mean by that? If Jesus was raised from the dead, then he is the beginning of the resurrection and the restoration of all things. That Paul says that's the very foundation of our hope. If Christ is not raised, we are lost. There's no hope. But he was raised, and he was raised as the first fruits of a new creation. We're not imprisoned in this system of sin and sickness and death forever, but there is hope. And Peter says it's a living hope. So we know hope is possible because of Jesus' resurrection. And I think we know that it's not just possible, but it's real because of Christ, the living Christ in us. Listen to this verse. Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because we get a foretaste of God's glory when we come to Christ, we experience his forgiveness, we experience freedom, we experience a longing for the presence and the glory of God, and it begins to grow inside of us. How can it not if the King of Glory lives in us, right? The Bible says we have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You, brothers and sisters, are on a layaway plan. Is put a deposit of the glory of God on the inside of you, and it's a guarantee for what is to come. Titus 2, verses 11 to 13 says this: For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Hallelujah. Right? It teaches us, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the blessed hope. Jesus appearing. So we know that hope is possible because of Christ's resurrection. We know it's real because he lives in us. And we know that it's a done deal. It's coming because the appearing, The return of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, has been promised by the one who is faithful. His appearing is the blessed hope for those of us who believe. One more verse, Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope. I'm going to ask the worship team, would you just start coming now as I read this? Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. I don't care who you are, whether you've not yet come to Christ or whether you've been serving Him for 60 years. And some here have. You need an anchor for your soul. May I say, especially as the world gets dark and crazy and chaotic, with all that's going on in the world, where is your hope? Are you going to trust in a politician to keep their word and make things better? That was a resounding response. Nope. Are you going to trust in science to use AI responsibly? And nuclear technology responsibly and solve all of our problems? Are you going to trust in financial institutions to have your best interest in mind in the volatility of our markets today? And sort out life for you? Or are you going to anchor your soul to the hope of glory? The living hope of the resurrected Christ who has promised to come back and renew our world. What a hope we have, folks. Not a pie in the sky by and by, but a living hope. We're going to talk next week about the fruit of that hope and how it makes a difference daily in our lives. Some good stuff coming next week. But I'm so thankful that God is at work in this world in ways that you and I don't even have a clue. He's at work in people's lives. But he's often at work. Maybe most often. Because for some reason, he chose to do things this way. I don't know why. He's often at work through us. A lot of darkness in our city, in our region. A lot of people stuck in cycles of brokenness and fear, addiction, poverty, wealth. Desperately trying to find some kind of hope. And God has sent us out into this world as people of hope to spill on them. Let's stand. I want to pray with you. There are some in this room this morning that need hope, that you've been dealing with some difficult, dark, challenging, scary, overwhelming things. And there are days when it seems like hope gets eclipsed by the bigness of the stuff that you're dealing with. And despair tries to get its grip on you. Depression tries to get its grip on you. And I'm not going to tell you this morning, oh, just think happy thoughts and it'll all go away. But I am going to tell you to lock eyes with Jesus, to get your attention on Him, to remind yourself daily, if you need to tell yourself every hour, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And even if all the things that the worst things that I imagine happen on the other side of it, there is life and joy and goodness and God. And some of you need hope this morning. Some of you need to be reminded that God has strategically placed you as a carrier of hope to spill on some people around you. And you've been trying to hold in your hope because you don't want to get any mess on anybody. But it's okay to let your hope spill out. God, I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your promises are a guarantee. They're not wishful thinking. They're a guarantee. God, I pray for those today that are walking through challenges and difficulties, and that, God, they struggle at times to keep their eyes on the prize, to keep their eyes on the hope that awaits them, the hope that is in them, the living hope that Christ has overcome sin and death. God, I pray that today, in the midst of the challenges that they're walking through, that you would give them a fresh revelation of your love and your mercy and your faithfulness. That you would enable them in a fresh way to get there, to lock eyes with you. And to hold on to hope. And Father, I thank you that you have strategically placed each one of us in neighborhoods and workplaces, in gathering places like coffee shops and the places that we go, the places that we shop. Because God, you have people that need the hope that we carry. May we have the courage and the boldness to let some hope spill out of our lives. We would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We need your Spirit fresh upon us. We need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon us, oh God, that we would be enabled and empowered to spill hope on people. It's not us. It's not our cheery disposition that's going to change someone's life. It's Jesus on the inside of us. So come and flow through our lives, we pray. May Bathurst celebrate that evangel people are among them, that Jesus people are among them, because of the hope that we bring. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say also, just before I'm just almost done. If you want prayer, any of the things that we've talked about or anything that's going on and you need prayer, we want to invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. If you're on a journey towards Jesus and you have not yet made a life commitment to him, I plead with you, don't put it off. Today, come and talk to us. We'd love to walk you through the process of surrendering your life to Jesus. Because man, does he have some good things for you. God bless you. Have a fantastic Sunday afternoon.